Damn Lumber River Quartet's got nothing on you. Well sung. Well sung. There you go. Oh, is that right? Well, praise the Lord. And that's what it's all about. Amen. Listening to that song. And realizing as we gather here this morning that that's what it's all about. And it is about the Lord Jesus Christ and about His glory and honoring Him and gathering together and just worshiping Him and existing in His presence and existing in the knowledge that we are forgiven and saved. Amen. If you're here this morning and you're born again, you're forgiven of your sins and you're confident in Christ, say amen with me, would you? Amen. It is good to be saved, and it's good not to have that fear looming over us. That looms over the whole world, or at least those that don't know Christ. In the meantime, we just want to be busy about the Father's business. And He'll call us home when it's time for us to go home to our reward. And we praise the Lord for His faithfulness. As we think about His faithfulness and we follow that example, we want to think about a little bit our faithfulness to Him. And specifically within the body of Christ, within the church. In Acts chapter 20, if you would go ahead and turn there this morning, we're going to break bread, Lord willing, before we part ways this morning. So in 15, 20 minutes or so, I guess I'll ask the men to come. But until then, I want to read and revisit, or I guess not revisit, but look at some of this passage we didn't get to last week and parse out the idea of our faithfulness within the church. We started last week with a verse in Matthew 26, verse 41 that says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? The flesh is weak. And so we struggle, though we have this desire, we have this zeal to be in the presence of God, to serve God, to be faithful, to hear the Word of God, to pray and intercede on behalf of others to God. Sometimes that old flesh gets wore out. We get weary in well-doing. Amen? And that happens. And so we got to recharge the batteries spiritually, emotionally, but also physically. Sometimes we need a break. And one of the things that we try to do, Mondays are the day that we sort of take off, kind of officially, unofficially, unless something comes up. And but I never used to do that. I just, you know, because you like to be busy, and I'm a man of routine, and Monday's the first day of the work week. But we try to take that day just to focus on rest and to focus on other things so that we can be spiritually and mentally ready for the work that the Lord has for us in store. But the point is that sometimes the flesh reveals its weakness. Though the spirit is willing, we don't always have the strength that's necessary. You know, even Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't. I struggle with. The things that I don't want to do, those are the things that I end up doing. And so we wrestle with the flesh, and that's just the way it is until we go to be with the Lord. But when we think about the church and our faithfulness, what we were talking about last week as we started this chapter is how wonderful it is to be a part of the church. And that the church is this cheering section for the believer. Individually this morning, Christian, as you look around, and you can do that if you want, but as you understand all of the people around you, even just in this building, recognize that you have a cheering section. That I am your cheerleader, and we are our cheerleaders, or one another's cheerleaders. We are cheering each other on, encouraging one another to be faithful in the work of God, to be faithful in church. And that's what we're going to look at here in these next few verses for the next couple of minutes, is the fact that we can be faithful and that we encourage one another to be exactly that. Let me pray and then we'll read a few things. Father, thank you again for each one that's here. Lord, what a shame it would be to gather together in your house under your word with the presence, Father, of your Spirit, and to in some way miss a blessing that you have for us. So, Lord, help us not to miss it. Help us to be attentive to your word specifically and to the Holy Spirit as you convict us, as you enlighten us and lead us through this passage. Just teach us, Lord, and show us what you want us to know. Thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you for the church and that we get to be a part of the body of Christ. Bless your word now as we read. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of things I want to share just before we read. One is in regards to the church. You know, we've been talking in our Sunday school hour with the adults, the idea that we are given gifts, spiritual gifts, that we can use within the body of Christ. And one of the reasons why it's so important that we all come, that we all gather, that we are a body, even if we're not in this building, but outside this building, within our communities, within our lives, we continue to work cohesively together, praying for one another, encouraging one another, being there for one another as we need to be and as we're called to be, bearing one another's burdens. And so we get to be the church day in and day out. And it's a wonderful blessing to be a part of what we call the body of Christ here on earth. And it's the reason why when someone is not in our midst, we miss them. For whatever reason, there's many people that would love to be here today, but physically they simply cannot be, and we miss them. And it's because we miss their presence, their encouragement, their cheering us on, their edification, their gifts that we utilize. It's also the reason why we pray for those that are in some way backslidden or frustrated or disenfranchised with the church. You know, that happens. Where sometimes we get put off and we get irritated or we get discouraged and we say, you know what, I'm not going anymore. And it doesn't help and it doesn't work. And for whatever reason, we may not go to church. And what my heart does is it grieves that loss because I need those other believers to help me be faithful, to encourage me with their gifts. So the body of Christ is so valuable and so important. I want to share this quote. It's simply this: to abandon the church. Let me say this first. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, we learn that the church is the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, we learn the same thing, that the church is the body of Christ on earth. Now think about that just for a second. That the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is done on this earth, no longer through Him physically. He has gone to be with the Father. He is seated on the right hand. He is coming back. But in the meantime, He has sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to indwell believers. And we, as Christians, followers of Christ, we get to be the body of Christ on this earth. We get to serve in his presence. I was going to say in His absence, but He's not absent. We get to serve in His presence. We get to be the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ here on planet Earth. And for that reason, to abandon the church is to essentially abandon the work of Christ. It's to abandon the body of Christ. Certainly, the presence of the Holy Spirit as we gather together this morning, and as we leave this place and we go out and we do the work of the church, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to abandon that. To turn your back on that, to say, I'm not interested in organized religion, and Christians are all a bunch of hypocrites, and they never get it right, and they're imperfect, and they're offensive, and I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do it my way all by myself. Number one is to deprive the church of the gifts that God gave you to aid the church. So if I take myself away from the body of Christ, I'm depriving the church of the gift that God gave me to be a blessing to the church with. Number two, if I abandon the church, essentially, I'm walking away from the body of Christ on earth. I'm abandoning the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a big deal. And I don't say that to guilt. You're all here this morning, right? So I don't say that to guilt anybody, but just to put value to why we do what we do. And I've said it many times, church is like base camp. It's ground zero. It's where we come to be encouraged and lifted up and to have those cheerleaders that you are encourage us and edify us. It's heaven's embassy on earth, and we are its ambassadors. And so as we gather together in church, we see the faithfulness of our Lord, and we want to reiterate that faithfulness to one another. After a busy week, Paul, those other faithful elders, disciples that joined him, they find themselves in Troas here, and it says in verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow and continue his speech until midnight." Now, sometimes I go a little long. I know that. And I apologize for that. I try not to. Usually, I try not to go too long, and I'll try again this morning. But hey, two things. Number one, I've never been here till midnight. So you got to give me that anyway. Paul preached till midnight. Now, they started in the evening, so I'll give him a little bit of leeway. But if I ever preach till midnight, he's a really good sermon. Or I had a lot to say, and I hope you brought a pillow. Here's the point. First day of the week, they were just involved in a riot, right? They've been traveling, they've been working, they've been ministering, they've been serving, they've been discussing, they've been fellowshipping, they've been preaching, they've been teaching, they're wore out, they're tired, and so Sunday finally comes around. They don't take the day off. Because to take the day off, to take a break, is to gather with the people of God, to be encouraged, to be refreshed, to fellowship. We go to the one place where we can be accepted and where we can find encouragement and we can find hope. We're not perfect, but we gather together to recharge each other's batteries. And I love the fact that on the first day of the week, they don't take a break. They don't take that day to simply stay home and have a barbecue and say, well, I'm wore out. They recognize that in order to charge the batteries, they need to gather together. And do you know what I find is spiritually and emotionally, when I am at peace, when God settles me and I'm trusting in Him, then I feel better physically. Did anybody else ever find that? And you need to get a rest. You need to take a nap. Maybe today I'll get one in. I don't know. But often when trouble comes into my life, abandoning my cheerleaders makes it worse. Remember what happened to Elijah when Elijah was discouraged? He was, Jezebel was going to kill him. And he had done all these incredible miracles, even raising this young boy back from the dead. And he called down the fire and he called down the rain. He did these incredible miracles. And then he became fearful at Jezebel and he ran for his life. And the point is that he left his servant behind him. And now he's all alone. And we find him sitting alone in the mountains in a cave, and he wants to die. That's what he said. He said, I'm no better than my fathers. Take me out of here, God. And I think part of the reason why he was so discouraged is he left behind the only fellowship that he was accustomed to having with him, his servant. And so he said, no, you stay here. It's not worth the risk. I'll go on my own. And next thing you know, he wants to give up completely. We need each other to keep motivating each other. So if I have a hard week, a difficult week, if I'm feeling down and out or blue or sad, the best thing for me to do is to gather with other brothers and sisters in Christ and get my batteries recharged so that I can listen to a bunch of truth tellers that say that I'm loved, that say that God will use me, that say they will pray for me, that lift me up, that clear some of the clutter out of my mind and help my thinking to be in right ways. And that's sometimes what I miss when I abandon that fellowship or that church. So for these reasons, it's good to be faithful to the church body. And that's why they gathered together, because they knew they needed that. It says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together, and I jotted down that they were faithful in coming together. Remember, we looked at Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake that. And thank you for your faithfulness, as I said last week. It means a lot. It's encouraging. Second, it says to break bread. I love the fact that they were faithful in remembering what Christ did, just as they were commanded. They come together just not for social time. Christians, sometimes that can be what it's all about. Church is just a social time, just get out of the house and see some friends and have a little conversation. And maybe you hear a message that challenges your heart, or maybe you don't. But it's not all that important. I hope that that's not the case for anyone here. It's social. It's wonderful. We love it. But when we gather together, we look to hear from the Lord. We want to break bread together. We want to remember what Christ has done for us. And literally this morning, we're going to have communion. And literally this morning, we're going to do as He commanded, to remember His death, what He did for us, His sacrifice, until He comes back. And maybe that'll be today. But I love that they were faithful in coming together. They were faithful in remembering the reason why they gathered. Jesus Christ. He's the reason why we're here this morning. He's the best thing about Christ. That's what I tell people. The best thing about me, Jesus Christ. That's the best thing about me. It really is. There's nothing better, there's nothing greater in my life than Jesus Christ. He's the best thing about me. And it's why Paul said, I must decrease and He must increase. The more of Christ others see in me, the better off we all are. And so they were faithful in remembering their captain, their King, the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, the Messiah. And they broke bread together. As we gather, we're faithful to do that to encourage each other. But we gather also to exalt Jesus Christ, to honor Him, to obey Him, and remembering what He did. Third, it says also in this verse, they preached, or He preached. Paul did. He preached unto them. He was going to leave the next day, so he was going to get it all out. He preached until midnight. He just let them have it. And away he went. And it got late. It got so late, some of them got a little sleepy, as a matter of fact. That happens. Again, we get weary, we get tired physically, but I love the fact that they were faithfully gathering to hear the Word of God. They didn't slip in when the preaching was over so they could have a sandwich. A little social time. Sneak out the back door. They came because they wanted to hear the Word of God. They wanted to remember Jesus, the Son of God, who came from heaven to earth to save us from our sins. The one we will spend eternity with. They gathered together to encourage one another in the house of God. They came at the first of the week. That was Sunday. They were faithful in coming together, faithful in remembering Christ, and they were faithful in hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says this, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. You want to grow in faith? You need to hear the preaching of the Word of faith, the Word of God. It's the only way. That's why the Bible refers to it as the bread. It's what our spiritual sustenance is. It's what we desire. It's what we hunger for. Jesus said in Matthew 5, I will fill up those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied. And so we gather together to hear the Word of God, not me. And I understand there's a difference between how different people share the Scriptures. I get that. But at the end of the day, we can read the Bible. We can listen to the words. We can watch the words as we hear it preached. And ultimately, we're listening to the leading of the Spirit of God. We're listening to God through a mouthpiece, through a speaker. But it's God that we gather together to hear. And that's what they love. They wanted to hear the Word of God. King Charles recently spoke. That's a funny turn, eh? Didn't expect that. Here's the point. Everybody tuned in, or you know, many of us tuned in. Why? Because it's the king. Well, he's the king, but did he have anything important to say? Sure he did. And so we listen. Why? Because it's the king, and we want to know what he has to say. We want to know what his opinions are about things. And so we tune in. And a lot of important people did. Not only the citizens in several different countries, including this one, and the one the king's from, and the one the king went to visit, and many other countries around the world, but there were diplomats and important people and politicians and all kinds of invitees that came and listened to the king because he's the king and because what he has to say is important. Every week, and not just on Sundays, you understand, all through the week we can open up this book and hear from the king, but what a privilege that on this day it is proclaimed publicly still in this nation. Without persecution, we get to gather together and demonstrate our love and faith for the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word by sitting in these pews and saying, we love to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday school or Sunday morning or whatever time we get together. But it's wonderful to hear the preaching of the Word of God, and that's why I appreciate that faithfulness to the Word. Because I know there's a lot of self-help gurus out there. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, there's a lot of motivational speakers preaching in pulpits. And they're not preaching sin or against sin. They're not preaching repentance unto salvation. They're not preaching hell and damnation and fire and brimstone because those things aren't popular. And essentially, they're nothing more than motivational speakers. And I'm not condemning anyone, but I'm saying that if I don't preach the gospel, throw me out that window, please, because I'm wasting your time. And I'm wasting the gifts that God gave to me. That's what it's all about. It's about Jesus. It's about exalting Him and being faithful to Him and His work and the body that He has created here on earth, that is the church, that the gates of hell will not prevail against because He indwells within the church. And so we are faithful to Him when we gather together. And it's honoring to Him. And they were faithful to the preaching of the Word of God, to the breaking of bread and remembering Christ, to the gathering of one another together. And I love that. Let's read verse 8, it says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber. So they've gathered together. They're in this building. And Paul is preaching. It's a church service. You know, like this one, except not here. They've gathered together. I love the fact that they're in the upper chamber. And it says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Now, I'm not going to practice eisegesis here this morning. I'm not going to impose upon the text my ideas of what I think it says, but I am going to compare this little verse to something and use it as a bit of a metaphor. It says, and there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. What does that mean? It means that the oil lanterns were burning, that the candles were burning. That's a kind of a nice ambient scene, you know, Paul's preaching, they're upstairs, gathered together, it's probably warm. the oil lanterns and the fumes, you know, everything's kind of softening. It's getting later. Paul is preaching. You know what it's like listening to my voice drone on and on. After a while, you start to nod off. That was happening to a fellow but that we're going to read about here in a minute, whose name is Eutychus. But here's what I want to focus on. Here's the metaphor. We see the lanterns. We can imagine them in our mind flickering, the lights. The light in that room was more than just the candles and the lantern. The light in that room was also the preaching of the Word of God. The light in that room were each one of those Christians that gathered together. That's why I love the picture. And there were many lights in the upper room. No kidding. You know, there are many lights in this room this morning. And it's every one of you, Christian. And when you leave here, you are still the church because you are still the light of the world. And you're going out into a much darker place when you leave here. So keep shining. Be faithful. Be faithful. The Lord will use you. All you have to do is shine. John 15, he said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me. All we have to do is be a branch. Just let him bear fruit through us. And I love that. They were faithful in letting their light shine. They were faithful as other passerbyers looked up at this upper room and saw the light outside the window and maybe wondered what was going on up there. What was happening is that the Word of God was being proclaimed. The light was shining, literally and spiritually speaking. And so it is here this morning. And you are the light. And so as you leave here today, continue to shine. And I love that. They were faithful in shining the light. Verse 9, to come to the practical portion of this story, a fellow by the name of Eutychus. Funny name, funny situation. Not so funny in a second, though. He was sitting in the window. The lights are flickering. It's getting late. The preacher's preaching on the fumes, perhaps. But at some point, here's what it says. And there sat in a window, verse 9, a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And, you know, the wording here, by the way, being fallen in a deep sleep, it kind of carries the idea that he was fighting it. And he was sort of drug into this. He didn't want to fall asleep. He was trying to stay awake. He didn't just kick back and go to sleep. I knew a fellow that used to come to church and he wore sunglasses. I'm not even lying to you, because he went to sleep every service. He would literally put on these black, dark sunglasses and he kept them on the whole time, and because we didn't know he was sleeping when he was sleeping. But the snoring gave him away. Anyway, Eutychus fell asleep in the window. It says, as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Now, here's the thing. As funny as this scene kind of is, it's really quite tragic, isn't it? You know, can you imagine? Here they are, they're preaching and they're encouraged, and Paul is leaving tomorrow, so they're kind of sad and they're getting everything they can out of this last time together, and they're excited and the candles are flickering, and there's Eutychus over there, and all of a sudden, whoosh, he's gone. Somebody jumps up, whoa, Paul, excuse me, Eutychus just fell out the window. Now, this was serious. He was killed. So you can imagine how that meeting took a real change. Tones changed, the attitude changed. All of a sudden now we have a young man who's deceased in a very tragic way. Again, I might go a little long, but I haven't killed anybody yet. So I haven't caught up to Paul in that way. Now, here's the point. How do we work this in before we break bread this morning? Those individuals, as often is the case, you know, just because we gather together, we love the Lord, we preach the Word of God, we're excited, the Spirit dwells within us, we see God working in our midst, doesn't mean that bad things are going to stop happening. Sometimes we think that that's the way it should be. God, we're doing everything right. Why are bad things still happening? And God would say, you're living in a fallen world. It's cursed. That's why I'm helping you, because it isn't going to be easy. Bad things are going to happen because we are cursed, because we live in a fallen world, because we're human. And often we get weary in well-doing. And even though the Spirit is willing, we are sometimes fallen in a deep sleep and we just can't help it. And Eutychus didn't want to embarrass himself, let alone die, listening to the preaching of the Word of God. He wanted to be faithful. He wanted to be there. And praise the Lord that even though he was wore out and tired, he hung in there and he went to church. But a tragedy happened. And he lost his life. And here's the fifth point in regards to faithfulness. I'm thankful for a church. And I'm thankful to the Lord for molding a church that is faithfully anticipating miracles. We don't talk a lot about miracles, right? We don't know what to do sometimes with that word because we don't want to get charismatic or foolish or fake. But miracles happen in our midst all the time. Little interactions, things that we don't expect and anticipate, but God is constantly intervening and He's involving Himself in many different ways. We might call it providence, that's fine, but don't call it coincidence. But certainly anticipate the miracles of God. If you're born again, a miracle happened to you. You know, we're in a room filled with people that all experience one of the greatest miracles that God has ever performed in making you His child. I mean, isn't that astounding? As I stand before you today, maybe you know me, maybe I know myself better than anybody, I know that, but God knows me best. And yet, because of what Christ accomplished, He refers to me as His son, His child, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, my brother. And it is incredible. So there's a miracle before you this morning in my life that I am saved and forgiven. And before me, there are many miracles, and not just your salvation, but many times over in your life, and many things that we don't even know happen. How many diseases and accidents and sicknesses and mishaps and demonic attacks has God kept you from that you don't even know about? Anticipate the miracles of God in your life, and tragedies will come, and they'll come at times when they don't make sense. God, why now? Can you imagine? Paul, you know, he's really giving it his all. This is the last opportunity. He's going out with a bang, and every preacher wants to do that, right? We want to hit a home run. He's got a guy so tired he falls asleep as he's preaching the message and died. This is a bit of a mark, at least in Paul's mind. What a terrible tragedy. And yet, I love what it says here in verse 10. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." You know, he anticipated God's intervention one way or another. He anticipated God's help, God's comfort, God's miraculous intervention one way or another. He didn't throw his hands up and say, "Oh, this is, it's all undone. God isn't real. Look what has just happened, this terrible thing. Let's all go home and forget about it." They carried on. And he embraces this young man, and you can imagine there would have been people that would have been upset and concerned and distraught, and what are we going to do, and what has happened? And just before anyone can really lose their minds completely, Paul runs to this young man, he embraces him, and then he encourages everyone. As no doubt the life literally returns to this young man in some way, shape, or form, the miracle happens, and he says, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." He is okay. He's fine. He's alive. Wait a second, didn't we just read that he was dead? Yeah, it says in verse 9, it says that he was taken up dead. He died. He died. Now think of that for a second. We read about this in Scripture, and I have to close. When you think about the many that lost their life in Scripture, and yet their life was given back to them by the power of God, whether it was through Elijah or through Elijah or through Paul here or through Peter when it came to Tabitha or through the Lord Jesus Christ, and after He resurrected the many dead saints that came, the Lord Jesus Christ, He said to Mary and Martha, He said, "I am the resurrection. I am the life." And so the miracle happens. They anticipated the miracle faithfully. And in life there is death, but in Christ there is life. This young man is alive. It says in verse 11, "When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted." Can you imagine? They weren't a little comforted. They were a lot comforted. Oh, man, that was terrible. That tragedy that just happened. And what can we do? We can't do anything about it. And yet God worked a miracle. And can you imagine showing up, seeing that happen, having that sick to your stomach feeling, recognizing that there's been a loss, and yet the power of God, a miracle took place. You know, as believers in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11, I want to read this, and then we're going to break bread. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we know this verse. It says, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." Chapter 4, verse 18, it says also, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." They were faithful in comforting one another. There was no little comfort there. They were so excited for what God had done. There was great comfort in their midst. God had given this young man his life back. And you know, as believers, we know that that's true for all of us. If we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is no end to our lives. There is only a change in our season. We go from serving the Lord here to serving the Lord in glory. And in life there is death, but in Christ there is life. And we have so much to be thankful for. And so that faithfulness that Christ demonstrates to us, we reciprocate it. We demonstrate it to one another. And the church, the body of Christ, is one of the places that we get to do that the most. So Paul was faithful. These early church Christians were faithful, and we need to be faithful as well. And I thank you for your faithfulness, church. And we give God all the glory, amen, for what he helps us to do for his sake. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask the men if they would come and distribute the cup and the bread, and then we'll break bread here this morning before we part ways. Father, thank you again for your word this morning. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, for the work that you are doing in our midst, God. We just acknowledge that, and we thank you so much for it. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to continue to be faithful in the ways that you want us to be. Thank you so much for the church. Life is hard, and it's hard to be consistent, and there's lots of different reasons and excuses that come up that, Lord, every time that we want to look to, and maybe we'll just take a break from the fellowship, take a break from the body, take a break from the church, Lord. And Lord, it can get hard. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the encouragement that we find, not only in your word and in your spirit, but also in one another. And Lord, for the help and the strength that we find when we gather together, we do anticipate the miracles that you're doing in our midst, the comfort that we receive. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to be shining lights, not only here, but certainly when we leave this place. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching of your word, for the word of God. Thank you that we can break bread even as we will in a moment. And thank you for this church that's gathered together in your name, Lord Jesus, for your honor. We thank you so much for yourself. Bless now as we break bread in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask the men if they would come, and they're going to distribute here the bread and the wine this morning. As believers, we, as Scripture commands, take a Sunday once a month to break bread together. What does that mean? Well, we sit around the Lord's table. That's what we call this. And we have the wine and the bread that's being distributed. And as Christians, the Bible says that we are to do this. This is a privilege that as believers we have. We get to sit at the Lord's table and remember his sacrifice on our behalf. And so as we break bread this morning, I want to read a couple of passages from 1 Corinthians. And then we'll partake. It says in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember, the bread that we're about to partake of this morning is not in any way supernatural or miraculous. It's a symbol, it's a token of the broken body of Jesus Christ. And as we take the bread this morning, we're remembering that Jesus Christ died in our place, that his body was broken, literally, for you and for me this morning, so we could be saved. Verse 25, it speaks of the blood. "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." So again, the blood of Christ, we're remembering that he shed his blood for our sins so that we could be forgiven, our sins could be washed away. Thank you, brother. Verse 26, just as you're opening up your cups, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You know, that's so encouraging. We're doing this not with nothing but sadness and grief, though we honor the Lord Jesus Christ for his sacrifice. We break bread together with joy and anticipation of his coming back. We're doing this until he comes back. You know that communion is a temporary privilege that we get to be part of, at least in the way that we're doing it now. And he's coming back, and then it'll change, I suspect, in lots of different ways. We show the Lord's death till he come. We need to make sure, as it says in verse 27, that we don't drink or eat unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, but examining ourselves, making sure that we are Christians, that we have trusted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. not trusting in this. This can't save you. Not trusting in baptism or any work, but simply trusting in the work Jesus did on our behalf. And it's important, I believe, that before we break bread, we do that. We examine ourselves to make sure that we are saved and also that we're being obedient. If there's sin in my life that I know shouldn't be there and God reveals it to me in my heart, even right now, then I should confess it and repent of it and leave it behind me and move forward with the Lord. So just before we break bread, can we take a moment and just examine ourselves? Just talk to the Lord in your heart and make sure that there isn't anything there hindering your relationship with Him. And also give Him personal thanks and praise for that sacrifice. Amen. I'm going to ask this morning if Gary would ask the blessing on the bread as we take it. Please, Gary, if you would. Amen. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Amen. I'm going to ask if Guy, would you please ask the blessing on the cup here this morning, Guy? Thank you. Amen. And also this cup, he said, is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Matthew 26, they sung a hymn when they finished and they went out. So we're going to do the same if Nancy would come. Please. Thank you, Nancy. We're going to sing together one last time hymn number 227, At the Cross, please. 227. Let's stand together as we sing At the Cross, number 227. Verses 1 and verses 4. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Verse 4. My drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. I'm going to ask if Jerry, brother, would you dismiss us this morning in a word of prayer, please, sir? Thank you very much.
Father, thank you for
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, church.